come out. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Joshy and I didn't even talk about this. And yet, that open that he just played is perfect for this topic that I want to bring up to you guys. Which, a little behind the curtain action here, I didn't even know about until about 6 minutes ago. I was just on with the guys on 620. Join them every Thursday. Gabe, I know you join them every Friday for a little crossover action. And they told me this too, and I think you're going to find this interesting. A new survey finds that 60% of Americans say they blow off medical symptoms unless it becomes serious. Women are more likely to do this than men. Men say they ignore symptoms because they feel they can power through the pain, while women say they don't want to be seen as overreacting. Half of the women say that gender stereotypes influence their perception of pain. Do you agree with that?
I'm in the middle of it right now.
Tell me.
My knee. I'm like, I don't know what it is. I didn't do anything to it. It's been bothering me for about 2.5 months now, to the point where I go on the stationary bike after I work out and I get off and I'm like, thing is screaming. But I am so anti, this is just me. I am so anti, what do they call it? Fake knee transplant.
I
thought he was going to say doctors.
A knee replacement?
Yeah, I thought the word doctor.
No, I am so anti-knee replacement that I'll suck it up and power right through it. I am not getting my knee replaced at 56
Wait,
years old.
You want to talk about overreacting. Happening. Are you sure that that's what it would require? Are you sure that whatever is ailing you in the knee would require a knee replacement? Could it just be a meniscus that you need to get in there and just clean it out?
It doesn't pinch like a meniscus. It just feels unstable. Not like I tore anything. It's just like, I don't know if it's just so beat down from playing and squatting and lifting and leg press, all that, that it's just degenerative, which I think it is, but I am not getting a knee replacement at 56 years old.
All right,
it just
so
is not happening.
What's an appropriate age to get your knee replaced?
Deaf.
Wait, so if you get to, once you get to 60... Is 60 okay? Can you get your knee replaced at 60?
I would pretty much just not be able to walk.
This is weird.
I'm just telling you. I just think.
Is it younger?
I'm just
saying,
doing it. I'm not doing it. I don't know what it is. I'll power through it.
I mean, I have friends who have gotten knee replacements, and
yeah,
they're glorious. Like there is obviously a recovery period. But once you get through the recovery period, Chew, having that brand new joint is like, it's like a rebirth. Like new life.
But to that point, isn't it better to get that younger? Because if you're younger, I would think that the recovery period would be less than if you were to get it when you're older.
I'm just not doing it.
What are you worried about, bud? What's your major malfunction here? What's bothering you about it?
The stigma of it.
I was about to say, there's a V word.
There's a stigma that goes along with it. I'm just not, I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
you played
if I need
in
to lose
NFL.
20 pounds or whatever, if I need to deal with a little bit of pain, then so be it. But
to me, that profession gives you the built-in excuse.
A carte blanche.
Yeah, to me, having played in the NFL is like, I played in the NFL. I beat my body to hell. I got to do some things now to like feel better. But I played in the NFL. Like, to me, there's no stigma attached to any injuries that you might have at this point in your life.
I'm just a grinder. I've played at 80%. I played at 85. I'm not going to be Jair and get a replacement every single joint in my body. Just okay. Ain't happening.
Taking strays here again.
No. Neither of those have anything to do with the other one.
Mo!
He's trying to throw us off the scent.
What do you think of this story, though, that the guys presented? 60% of Americans say they blow off medical symptoms unless it becomes serious. I told them, like, a couple of things are at play here. One, our medical system just blows. Absolutely. You know, the fact that you got to go see your general practitioner before to get a referral to go get an MRI to take a, like, you know, like all of that stuff is just ring around the rosy. And then the other thing is you don't know if insurance is going to cover the thing. And then who's got time for that at this point, right? Like on the off chance that I just hurt my back lifting the package that was sitting on my front porch the other day. On the off chance, Gabe, can I just wait it out? Can I just wait like 5 or 6 days and see if it subsides on its own?
The last time I think I went to a doctor for a non-physical is when I was using a mandolin to slice a potato and sliced a little bit of my finger off and couldn't get the bleeding to stop. And eventually my wife, at that point she was my girlfriend, but she did, you know, hey, we got to go to urgent care. We got to get this thing taken care of. That was the last time I went to a doctor for a non-physical.
But I have guys that I played with that are now deceased that like NFL, and I had to, I can't, because I'm protected by HIPAA here, I can't say any names, but I had to beg this one guy, and my doctor said, just drive him here and bring him in. I had to beg him to go see a doctor because football players' mindsets are, look, we get full test physical every single year.
Yeah.
And these guys, when they're done playing, they're like, well, I had a physical 28 years ago, so, you know, I'm fine.
I'm in the clear.
You know, I've had guys that have just, you know, passed. Like, you guys know I just did the sleep apnea test, which was easy as pie. You put a watch on and a probe. You know, Reggie, I believe, passed away from sleep apnea. And it's a dangerous thing because after talking to my doctor, he's like, you don't have to be obese to have sleep apnea. He's like, I have guys that are marathon runners that have sleep apnea that never get it treated. And he said, it's so bad for you. You stop breathing. It's such a stress on your heart. So I go to the doctor every single year. Checkup, physical, once a year. And everyone should. Except the B-hole. I'm not into that. I think there's other ways you can handle that.
The colonoscopy?
The colonoscopy? Yes. Wait, you can't be giving out medical advice and then go, well, I mean, because this seems like a do as I say, not as I do situation. It seems like I need to fly down to Florida, get your ass in a car, drive you to a doctor and see what the hell's going on with your knee.
I also think it's interesting that Reggie White comes up in this because Reggie allegedly died of sleep apnea. Therefore, you are very locked in on the sleep apnea test. What you need is a buddy to die of colon cancer, it sounds like, right? Like, this to me is the thing that gets you to the doctor.
Jen, I have two tattoos, okay? People only think I have one. They only think I have the one tattoo, Superman on the arm. I have another, and it says, exit only.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I think they do have the... I mean, it's basically
Poligard.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's poop in a box. Mm-hmm. I guess you could do that, bud.
Shouldn't that be a song? Like, wasn't there a Saturday Night Live skit?
There was. It was.
But you can't say it on the air?
We're
correct.
Not going to do it.
It was on the...
Poop in a box. Poop in a box. All you got to do is poop in a box. That should be the commercial.
This was an interesting direction we've gone today.
Good morning, everybody. It's 7:10 a.m.
I do think... him being a former NFL player is relevant to this, right? Because he's talking about that Iron Man mentality, which mm-hmm. has apparently followed him with the knee, not so much the sleep apnea, which, again, it's wild that there's a major like disparity between what the ailment might be that Chewy wants to have attention on. But just from a general standpoint, do you agree that you understand that 60% of people are avoiding going to the doctor? They're blowing off their medical symptoms unless it becomes serious. That's a high number.
Yeah, that is.
Do you think that is
honestly
insurance related? Do you think it's time related? Do you think it's the whole rigmarole related?
That actually kind of seems low to me. Yeah. I feel like most people I know do that. You know, again, you'll go for your annual physical or whatever, but I don't know too many people that are making the run to your doctor or to urgent care. Again, if you have children, I feel like it's different, right? Like you want to make sure the children, but like for like people themselves... like, they're not going to the doctor unless it's pretty
like,
bad.
Do they, Gabe, though? Does everyone get a physical?
No, I don't even think that.
No.
I don't ever remember my dad, you know, as kids, I don't ever remember my dad taking off work and going to the doctor to get a physical.
My dad never did. I mean, now my dad does get a physical because it's a part of the insurance that he has.
Required.
Has to get a yearly. Well, I guess you don't have to get the yearly physical, but you get, like, a discount on your premiums if you get that yearly physical. So clearly you're going to be incentivized to do that. But like when I was a kid, my dad was self-employed. He was not going to go to the doctor very often.
Yeah.
Did you say you don't ever go to the doctor?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, I thought that's what it sounded. I looked at you like, what?
No, I think it's largely socioeconomic and the rigmarole you have to go through with health insurance and the difficulties and then the miscoding and then how difficult it becomes. I think there's certainly an aspect of I can just deal with this that is largely economically funded versus anything else you could ever imagine. Certainly there are people like Chewy. We run into them all the time where it's like, we'll figure it out. And then the doctor is the last step. And sometimes it's, I don't want to say like fatally too late, but like your elbow, you let it go too long and now you need massive surgery where we probably could have worked on
it tell you this,
along the way.
Joshy, because you just nailed it. But coding is their scam.
Yeah. I mean, okay? getting
they
a bill
code
that's...
It, they code it a certain way, and I'm not only talking doctors. Dentists do the same thing. They code it a certain way to maximize their dollars. And Angie has to call them up and can you say B on the word on the...
Complain.
Complain.
Save that
and
to
say,
Dave and I.
Why are you coding it like this? It's a physical. It's a checkup. Code it so insurance takes care of it.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of mistrust
yes.
in the system. And again, I have insurance through my employment. I'm sure a lot of us do. And it's still, I get a bill from the hospital going, what the? Why wasn't this covered? Mm-hmm. Why do I have a bill here for $2,500? Like, who went to the doctor? You know, and then you're like, who went to the doctor?
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's the other thing. You got urgent cares popping up all over the place. Like, we use an urgent care. I mean, almost like a pediatrician / general practitioner, because it's like, oh, you're not feeling well. Oh, you've been vomiting for 2 days. Let's get you over to urgent care. They'll, you know, diagnose you. They'll get us a prescription. We'll be at Walgreens and we'll be back home within, I don't know, hour and a half. You know, like it's a strange thing. I when I saw this number, I was like, makes perfect sense to me. Makes perfect sense that people are putting off getting medical treatment, giving all of the hoops they have to jump through, given all of the time it takes. That again, that's the other thing is like, I need to go to the doctor. Okay, schedule an appointment with your GA. Okay, 3 months from now, I can get in with my GA. All right, finally, I get the appointment. Then we do the referral. Okay, 3 months from now, I can get in with the specialist. Like, by that point, guys, what's the point? You know, that's why people are putting it off. There's no immediacy to the process. I don't know. No, I thought it was very interesting. And Chewy, I love the perspective that you're bringing from a football player standpoint, where you guys get all that medical treatment every single day at work.
Yeah.
And then you leave it and, you know, you kind of just, I don't know, expect to get that same level of treatment.
It's probably a relief of not being poked and prodded all the time. It's like, I'm sick of this. Leave me alone type part of it as much as it is the Iron Man stuff.
I do think, Chewy, you should get that knee looked at,
Yeah, just
buddy.
To get it looked at, man.
I know what it is.
Like, just like you knew what the elbow was. You gave yourself like four different diagnoses.
No, it was exactly what I thought it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
You had seven diagnoses for the thing.
But I got it. Finally.
Yeah, you played whack-a-mole until the end of an episode of House. Yeah, eventually you ended up at the right one.
You give me enough guesses, I'll answer anything on earth for you.
You know what I thought it was, my first guess? Did I tell you what my first guess was?
Your knee or elbow?
Elbow. Gout?
Just so you guys know, the House reference took me out.
Also, isn't gout largely like
feet?
Yeah, and isn't it like water related and like like isn't that all kind of combined? Mister, I drink like 47 gallons of water a day.
I do think that gout is diet related. I do.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
Yes. Real rich foods and stuff like that.
We need the disclaimer about we are not medical professionals. And
but if it hasn't become clear, all of us being like, yeah, I'll go sometimes, I guess. But it's really inconvenient.
Yeah, but hold on. The only reason I guess that is because I wanted to outsmart my doctor. Because he didn't come up with it. It's gout. I know it.
See, you're a special case here. I don't think anybody in the audience is going, yeah, I know better than my doctor.
I think I do in this case, in the knee. I'm telling
so
you.
So much reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talking text line, guys. It feels like a lot of people are in this same boat. A lot of people have experience with this. A lot of people are reacting to this conversation. We'll get to some of that reaction as the morning goes on. But we need to get to Jason Wilde. The NFL draft is now 1 week away. We are 1 week away from the NFL draft in Green Bay. We'll talk to Jason Wilde about some of the recent visits that the Packers have taken and what that says about the direction they are going to go, and more right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We were waiting for the big guy to get back in the chair before we started the segment with Jason. You good, Chew? Hi. Good
I'm here.
You. Okay. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great, and I'm glad Chewy's back in his chair.
Josh, he's like, Chewy's not back yet. Chewy's not back yet. I don't see Chewy. And then Chewy, all of a sudden, with his teal shirt, sits back down in the chair. Jason, it sounds like another wide receiver has worked out with the Green Bay Packers. I know we have talked about this, and there are some other positions that I want to focus on today throughout the show. But I said this last night on Weekly Wager. You cannot dismiss the emphasis that the front office seems to be placing on this position, even if you've convinced yourself they will not take a wide receiver in the first round. Do you agree?
Yeah, I couldn't say it better myself. I mean, look, they don't squander top 30 visits. They don't. We talked about a couple weeks ago the track record they have. Like, I have not compared it to the other 31 teams, but I would be willing to wager that they have one of the highest percentages of drafting guys that come in for visits. And what's really interesting is this wide receiver piece of the puzzle, because if you take that piece of these are meaningful to them. They don't use them for subterfuge. On top of that, you certainly wouldn't do it with three of them if you were just doing it to make people think you're drafting a wide receiver. But then you juxtapose that obviously against the fact that it's been 20 plus years since they drafted Javon Walker, and you don't know how the draft board is going to fall. And the question that I have now is not whether or not they legitimately want to draft any of these wide receivers. It's what are they going to do if none of them are there at 23? And is Goody, who has publicly stated he wants more picks, going to be willing to give up picks to move up to get a specific wide receiver who's come in for a visit? Those are all the kind of ancillary questions that I have now, because they've had these guys all in for visits.
Jason, Gabe told me there was an article written ranking all 32 teams' rosters. The Packers were seventh. I asked him if the positions were weighted, to which he said yes. I believe the four most important positions on the field are quarterback, receiver, defensive line, and cornerback. Could you rank those for me? And tell me if you think seven is accurate, because I don't think it is.
As long as tight end is toward the bottom of the importance list, right?
Well,
I mean, that's really all we really care about here.
It used to be horrible with Paige, Jason. We used to be second from the bottom. I wonder where they are now.
I'll tell you this, 2025, I know it's way too late for you to make a comeback, but
yeah.
I just finished my tight end story for Channel 3000, and I you go back and you listen to some of the things that Matt LaFleur has said. I'm not saying this is going to be the Patriots with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, but I really do think it is going to be very tight end centric. Now, that could change if they get one of these wide receivers, and that suddenly changes their dynamic on offense. But I think right now, and after spending his offseason kind of tinkering with his offensive ideas, I do think tight end is going to be much more prominent in this offense. Gabe, who did this story? I had not seen that. I don't know the other rosters well enough, but seven, when there's also that other thing that, that Bill Huber wrote about where the Goody's drafts are like among the worst based on the way they calculated that. Like, I don't know how you can be both, right? You can't have the seventh best roster and the worst GM at drafting. Those would seem incongruous. So, look, I just think they've got this team that really needs – that's got a lot of guys that have to prove that they are as good as the Packers want to believe they are. And if they do, then maybe I would buy that they have the seventh best roster in the league.
Who do you think has to prove the most to prove?
Well, I think it's a long list, but it's got to start with a quarterback. And I still think Jordan Love is a good quarterback. I'm not saying he's not. I know, you know, he doesn't use the injuries last year as an excuse. I do think they're an explanation for some of it. The drops are an explanation for some of it.
Do you think, Jason, going forward with the injury, because I'm willing to ride with the injury thing last year. Okay, you had to play through injury, first time you had to do it, and there is a learning curve to that. I think that's a part of, you know, the development of Jordan Love. But now going forward, like, obviously if it's a catastrophic injury that you try to play through, sure. But, I mean, these little things, these little tweaks here and there, hey, you had that learning curve year. I don't really know if I want to hear the injury excuse going forward.
Yeah, all really very good points. I don't think Jordan Love's the one who's making the excuse, though. And that's one of
that's
the
fair.
Things that I don't understand about the dynamic with him. Like, there's this segment of the fan base that if you criticize him, well, you're a hater or you're a Rodgers guy or whatever you are. And I just want to reiterate this. Jordan Love doesn't want your sympathy or your excuses. Like, it's one of the things I really like a lot about him is that, you know, and look, great relationship with Rodgers for many years, still remain in touch with him. But I would, and I've said this to his face, so it's not like I'm just saying it on the radio or on YouTube, but like the way he went about taking ownership of things, I don't think was always on point. I think he could have done a better job of that. And I don't think Jordan Love has any problem whatsoever with that, whether it's not using the injuries as an excuse or when people are talking about the number of drops his guys had, saying, hey, I didn't throw the ball accurately enough. Right? If I throw better balls, they're less likely to drop them. Like, you can say that those are platitudes, but I think that's how Jordan Love is wired. And for LaFleur after the season to talk about how, well, I want him to be more of a vocal leader, that's fine. That's a very fair thing to ask of your starting quarterback. But I think Jordan Love's leadership is just a different style than a lot of people are used to. I think he's really good at talking to guys one-on-one. He doesn't show guys up on the field. And he has an ability to take ownership of his mistakes, to take a little bit of the heat off of his teammates. And at the same time, I think he's able to say, look, I need more from you in this way. So when I look at Jordan, it's got to start with him to answer your question on where the hot seat guys are, where the line begins.
But Jason, in all fairness to Jordan Love, how much better would he be with Minnesota's skill positions?
Yeah, he completed 61.3% of his passes. He admitted, I thought it was interesting because I went back and listened to him on NFL Live from the Super Bowl, you know, when everybody kind of focused on how he responded to Josh Jacobs' number one receiver comment. There was some really interesting stuff in there that he said to Orlovsky and Mina Kimes. One of them being that he really, which I thought was, again, another example of him taking ownership, saying that his footwork, he's inconsistent with his footwork, and as a result, he is inconsistent with his accuracy. And whether it's Mike McCarthy or Tom Clements or Matt LaFleur, they all have said for years and years and years that, especially in their offenses, you lead with your feet. everything starts with your footwork, right? And that's not revolutionary for coaches about quarterbacks, but when you have a guy who's admitting that his footwork gets out of whack too frequently, I think that gives you another idea of an area where if he's better with that this year, injury, no injury, whatever the case may be, his accuracy will be better. And then I think that gives his guys a little bit better chance to be better on the receiving end. But no, look, not to be a dink, Chewy, but like everyone would be better with Justin Jefferson as their wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Like, I still think Jordan Love would be better this year with Devontae Adams on his roster. But clearly Goody disagreed with me. So, you know, you have to dance with the one that brought you. And right now, barring that first-round wide receiver for the first time in more than two decades, we kind of know who he's going to have to throw to, and we'll see if that's good enough or not.
Well, Jason, as we continue talking about the development of Jordan Love, the necessary evolution of Jordan Love, I can't help but wonder about the departure of Tom Clements. How big do you think the gap is between what Clements was able to do and how highly regarded he has been to Sean Mannion, who is apparently taking over the role?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Jen. I would respond by saying that maybe after 5 years in the league, and what, three of them with Tom Clements pounding home the fundamentals, that you would hope that that's long enough with a coach like him. And now Jordan gets a coach who's very different, right? A guy who was a backup in the league for a long time, a guy who everywhere he played, whether it was for LaFleur and Sean McVay in L.A. or in Seattle where John Schneider's the GM, everyone kept saying, this guy's going to be a head coach someday. And now he started on that journey by being a position coach. Maybe a contrast in coaching styles and age and everything else will be valuable for Jordan. But you're right. I mean, Tom Clements, you know, if fundamentals are his number one thing, and then you've got Jordan Love admitting to Mina Kimes that his footwork was inconsistent and that was leading to inconsistency in his accuracy, then what is Sean Mannion going to do if he takes a different approach to try and get him to be more conscious of his footwork and more accurate? It's going to be an interesting dynamic. Remember, too, that they also brought back Luke Getsy, who is a senior offensive assistant. Obviously, things did not go great for him as an offensive coordinator, but Rodgers really liked him as a quarterback's coach. He's also been a wide receiver's coach. So you've got another kind of voice that can also help Love. But look, the bottom line is Love's got to do it. You know, Homer used to say that he could have been Aaron Rodgers' quarterback's coach, which of all the outlandish things that Homer says, that one, not that outlandish, right? I'm not sure how much Rodgers at the four MVP period of his life would have been negatively impacted by a crazy 70-year-old radio host being his position coach. But Jordan Love, I don't know how much he needs. This is going to be his sixth year, by the way. I mean, I do think there's also this, you know, on one, again, maybe going back to the apologist segment of the fan base, like they always point out he's only been a starter for 2 years, but the guy's been in the 6 years is a long time to be in the league. And to be starting his sixth season, you know, I would hope that the change in coaches does not have either a major positive or major negative impact on him, because you should be at a point where you should pretty much know what you're doing. And I think Jordan probably does.
Jason, good stuff. Oh, go ahead, Chu.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jason, just real quick, do you know, are there going to be any old-timers announcing picks? Is Brett going to be up there or Jerry Kramer?
Yeah, there's definitely the second round. There's definitely players announcing the picks again like they have in the past. I don't know if they've announced who the Packers person is. I think Melvin Gordon is maybe announcing the Chargers pick.
With the Wisconsin ties. I got you.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I know there's a lot of your former teammates that are going to be in town. I don't know if one of them has gotten the nod Did you want me to put in a word for you?
No, like,
did you,
that's exactly what he wants,
no,
Jason.
That's
actually what he was angling for. He was hoping that you could give him an in because he really wants to fly up here for the draft.
Yeah, because I'm so good with names.
They would put it on a card for you, doofus.
Exactly. Write it down.
Reading is not my strong suit.
Yeah, but if he
either.
Gets one of those names where you got to spell it out phonetically, like,
Hey, Gabe. When we did it 3 years ago, I fell asleep on the telecast. Do you think I could stay up to the 23rd pick or whatever it's going to be? No chance.
Chewie's just snoring backstage.
Jason, did you know that? I fell asleep.
Oh, yeah.
No, I had. I mean, you know, I pop in and out on those programs, and you were awake when I was on. is that true?
It's a true story.
Yeah.
It's a true story, Jason. I can confirm.
All I remember is I woke up to Angie saying, "You're on the air. Gabe's talking to you."
It was a handful of years ago at this point, Jason. It was either 2020 or 2021, and Chewie was at home using his laptop as the camera, and he fell
How
asleep.
Late was it?
I mean, not that late.
8:30. Josh, in my defense, what's Thursdays?
Glamour Thursdays.
There you go.
I don't know if that's the defense you think it is now. All right, Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
God, I can't wait to fall asleep during one of these appearances on the show now. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
I can't wait to have the cachet to be able to fall asleep on the air during the draft show and there be zero consequences. That's what I can't
People
wait
think
for.
He's a dummy, but he's masterminded his way into absolutely zero expectations.
He really has.
And zero accountability.
Yes.
Is that dumb like a fox? Is that what they call that?
Sly like a fox.
Okay.
Exactly.
Proven.
We'll take a break, but I do want to get into this list because it is a very interesting list. The Eagles top the Athletics roster rankings headed into the 2025 NFL draft. And as Chewie said, your Green Bay Packers are seventh on the list. Does it feel like they have a seventh-ranked roster in the league right now, headed into the draft? We'll debate that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewie.
Looking for a localized banking solution and strategic partner, Fifth Third has been shaping the future and for businesses for 167 years and for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee. We offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making, and extensive experience to help navigate the ever-changing business landscape. With your business in mind. At Fifth Third, we are big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, yet empowered to make local decisions and build strong community connections. Experience the commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. It's Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewie.
Is it against the law to be a moron or not?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I want to be.
The Athletic has done a compilation. NFL projection model ranks all 32 rosters ahead of the draft. And I mentioned, headed into the break, that the Eagles are the number one roster. I can't imagine that anyone out there who watched the Eagles playoff run thinks that they're not one of the best rosters in the league, right? Like, just top to bottom, it was like playmaker after playmaker after playmaker after playmaker. We, of course, know that they have Saquon Barkley. We, of course, know, you know, the talent that they have all over the field. But I want to give you a little bit of perspective on how they came up with this. They don't give us the algorithm specifically, right? They're not telling us which
That's
of
proprietary information.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want anybody ripping them off. But they do say that they assign a value to each player that shows their impact on a single game. Positional value is vital in football, which means that running back is not going to be as valuable as an elite edge rusher, even though Saquon Barkley and Myles Garrett, respectively, are the best players at their positions. So we said the Eagles are number one. The Ravens are number two. The Lions are number three. And it's not that big of a disparity between the Lions at 5.5 to the Eagles 6.7. You guys said that means that they would beat a team by an average of that many points?
So that is what they're doing. That is the expected outcome should you play an average roster in the NFL.
Think about it like a point spread. Against the average team, the Eagles would be, what's their number?
6.7.
It's better than the average team.
Okay. So after the Lions, it goes the Chiefs. After the Chiefs, it goes the Bills. After the Bills, it goes the Buccaneers. And they are tied with the Green Bay Packers at 2.6. Get rid of the algorithm, because we don't know what it is. Do the Packers feel like, when you look around the league, the seventh best roster in the league, Chew?
Who's behind them, Jen? Who's eight?
The Rams,
nine?
The Commanders, the 49ers, the Broncos, the Bengals. And then, for whatever it's worth, again, those are the only teams that have a positive point differential. Everybody after that has a negative point differential, including the Vikings, which means the Vikings, it looks like it's a coin flip because it's 0.1. Chargers, same thing, 0.1. Again, I don't want to get caught up in all of the numbers because to me that's a little bit distracting. But the Packers are ranked the seventh best roster in the league. And the reason that I was a little like head scratcher with this is because when we look at the Packers roster, Chew, we don't see superstars popping off the page. You know, we think they have a few. Mm-hmm. We really like Josh Jacobs. We really like Xavier McKinney. But I mean, when we have tried to find superstars on this roster, Gabe, I feel like we have struggled to put a lengthy list together.
But, I mean, when we talk about positions of need for the Packers, we talk about defensive line needs to be better, wide receiver needs to be better. And in order to win a Super Bowl, yes, those things need to be better. But if you're doing an exercise like this, they're probably solid defensive line. You know, it's probably slightly above average even because of the bodies that they have there. Same thing probably at wide receiver. Now, they don't have those differentiating superstars that I believe will make you a true contender. And I think you see kind of that drop-off of those top five teams, the Eagles, Ravens, Lions, Chiefs, Bills. There is kind of a drop-off to get down to the Buccaneers and Packers in terms of the numbers and the rankings. The Packers don't have right now on the roster this huge glaring hole that they are well below average on the roster. Like, Goody's put together a pretty decent enough roster. It's just lacking the stars that you need to get to that upper tier to be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, once you're reading those other teams, it kind of feels okay.
Yeah, it feels
their place. But I think I'm with you, Gabe. I think that the gap between the top four teams is big.
Yeah.
Is big.
Yeah.
Because if take Detroit, for instance, you know, they got a pretty darn good offense, a good offensive line, and their defense is solid. The thing that I look at, and Goody may prioritize it totally different than I do, I look at quarterback, receiver, D-line, corner, and cornerback. They're deficient in all those areas. They lack superstars in all those areas, which are so important. And I think that brings the gap. I don't have a problem with their place, but like I'm saying, I think the gap is much bigger between those four teams.
And I think that's fair. When I was asked on the survey that we did for the draft guys, you know, prioritize 1, 2, and 3, my third priority was close the gap. Close the gap between the roster that the Green Bay Packers have and the roster that the Lions have. Because to your point, I look around, and obviously Aiden Hutchinson didn't even play last year, but they have addressed a lot of those positions, Chew, that you just mentioned. For whatever it's worth, The Athletic did say, when writing up about the Green Bay Packers, if there were a true wide receiver on the roster, the Packers would be pushing for a spot in the top five. Same could be said if they had an elite pass rusher. So that's why we keep thinking those are the positions that they are going to address most fiercely in the upcoming draft, Gabe.
Yeah, because you need those superstars to separate you. Again, they're wide receiver group. You know, that's why I've been wanting, okay, the wide receiver group, you can, again, you squint, you see a little bit more of the potential, especially with Jaden Reed, and as well as he played in the first half of the season, maybe they can figure something else out. Just trying to get that pass rusher for me. But I think you can go the other way. Well, they've got some bodies there. They can get creative if somebody makes a leap, but they want the number one wide receiver. It's not like they are just, like the Chicago Bears, for example. The Bears' top two pass rushers last year combined for 10.5 sacks. Like, it was 5.5 and 5. Like, that's even worse than what the Packers had in terms of their top two pass rushers. So there are teams out there that are actually legitimately just horrific at some of these positions we're talking about. Packers wide receivers, they're about average. Defensive line, it's about average. But again, if you want, to Chewy's point, it's such an important position. You need a difference maker if you want to be a true, legitimate Super Bowl contender at those spots. And they just don't have that.
Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. The Packers are ranked 7th with their roster right now, according to The Athletic. Does that seem right to you? We can Goldilocks this thing. You know, too high, too low. No, that feels just about right. And for whatever it's worth, again, the Chicago Bears are ranked 26th. From a roster standpoint, even with all the work they did this offseason, guys, even with all the attention they give the offensive line, and it says this is probably lower than Bears fans expected to find their team. Why are they all the way down here? Quarterback Caleb Love has a lot to prove this season. And Gabe and I were discussing during the break, if you're wondering why the Vikings, who had a lot of success this year, are middle of the pack at 13, it's got to be because of the quarterback.
Yeah,
it's got to be because
of the quarterback. It's a big question mark. Sandy McCarthy is a big question mark.
Another thing is you look at Washington and you're like, well, why are they so down? Washington just goes to show you how good you can be when your quarterback plays out of his mind.
True.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Jordan Love plays out of his mind this year, then they're a top five team. You know, if he doesn't, if he has the same kind of year, they're not. They're just not. And Washington's proof of that.
It's funny, too, because Jordan Love did play out of his mind. And I would argue that Jayden Daniels played out of his mind for just one quarter longer. And his team got to the NFC Championship game. If Jordan Love played out of his mind for one quarter longer 2 years ago against the Niners, then they're kind of in that same category. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
And the author of this article does say, guys, pretty much what Chewy just said. Headed into last season, when they ran these same numbers, Washington had the worst roster in the league. But Jayden Daniels played so far and above better than what they projected him to play, it elevated them all the way up to 9th. On this year's pre-draft roster rankings. Packers, again, ranked 7th in the league with their roster. If they had a true number one wide receiver or an elite pass rusher, they would be in the top 5, according to the model.
This is just another different way of doing power rankings. If ESPN.com put out a power rankings list and had the Packers at 7, would you blink?
No.
Because that's all this is.
Yeah, I think we've spent a lot of time analyzing so in depth all these positions that we've sort of found ourselves on the more negative end of the reality of it. Just think if you swapped out Aiden Hutchinson and Amon-Ra St. Brown, you're immediately like, the Packers are like a top three roster.
Yeah, and that's what
and that's like the only change. So I think they're much more on, we've gotten annoyed with being so average and consistent and decent. Like, they're decent across the board. They've got some, but two guys could change the entire face without Jordan Love having to play out of his mind. Change the way we view this team.
It's a great point. I just think that the gap between them and the Eagles and the Lions feels to me enormous. It feels right now like a galaxy. Can they close it with the draft? Yes, but remember, they're going to be drafting too.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's represented in there. I think it's like a 4-point fall off, isn't it, between those top tier teams and like the Packers? Yeah. Like, that's 4 points in an NFL game is a ton. That's a ton of points.
Yeah, that is.
Take a look at the poll. Go ahead and give us a vote on that. Folks on the YouTube stream are saying, don't forget to put it on the YouTube stream as well. They want to vote in the poll also. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
We've talked a lot about Mentality, local healthcare facility dedicated to helping men feel and perform at the very best. And they can certainly help you with your low testosterone. But they also want to help in the community, because at Mentality, they have a motto: leave no man behind. And a friend of Mentality suffered an unthinkable nightmare back in January when his teenage daughter was paralyzed after a horrible accident. So Mentality wants to help this family, and they're asking you to pitch in as well. Please consider stopping by Mentality for a fundraising event tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Wauwatosa. Their office is at 2323 North Mayfair Road. You can stop by for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour. They're going to have silent auctions, 50-50 raffle. Maybe just stop by, grab some lunch at some of the food trucks they're going to have out there. But they're also going to have free men's health screenings. And 100% of the money that they raise is going to go to purchase an Action Track chair for this family. Again, all of this is taking place tomorrow. Mentality's office in Tosa, 2323 North Mayfair Road. Super easy to find, right on the corner of Mayfair and North. So it's not a hard building to find. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. if you can help out with Mentality.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Jump on it.
Slow down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
There's a winning magic powering up Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee. This April, prepare for an exciting quest to $300,000 in the Enchanted Spins slot tournament. Conjure up your rewards card and play your favorite slots to earn drawing entries. Each Thursday, 60 winners will compete for thousands in cash and prizes. So let your journey begin with Enchanted Spins. It is only at Potawatomi. There's more info online. Must be 21 and a rewards member to play. Feels like a good time to share with you guys that I did sit down at the old slot machine last night at Potawatomi after weekly wager, put a little bill in, took the bill, and I won $378.
Nice.
On a penny slot.
Why do you bother with anything else? Like, your return profit.
Out of control.
Compared, like, on your slot luck versus the bets that you have more influence over, by the way, it has to be astronomical, the percentage difference of how much you win on slots versus your other bets.
Well, Gabe, for whatever it's worth, I did win on a national championship bet. I bet the last week of March on Florida to win the national championship. That paid out, I think it was $80.
Okay.
Again, I make minimal bets. I don't want to do these crazy, you know, $500 or $100. They're always like $20, $10. And so I took that and put that in the slot machine. That's how I did it.
Do you have a routine? Because I know some people say play the ones on the aisle or play the ones here. You just go up to any machine and play it?
No.
No troll doll you got to have out for good luck?
I don't play any machine. I play what machine speaks to me.
Okay.
Wait, so you're a medium for slot machines?
Yeah.
You get like vibes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I do a little loop around and I feel what I got good energy from and then I sit down. I'm embarrassed that I'm saying this out loud to you guys, but this is how it works.
But this is, what you're saying is you can't teach this to someone.
I mean, I could say to you, this one's giving me good vibes, but I don't know if it's going to give that person good vibes.
It sounds like in Severance when they're like, oh, the numbers are scary. Okay, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Somehow Jen
it.
Understands, too.
I can't explain it, but I have a lot of luck. Now, have I lost at slot machines? Yes, but the number of times I have won is astronomically larger. And again, I went and saw my husband last night. I put the little slip down in front of him with the $433 payout. And he goes, what the hell? Like, this is not right. This is not fair. It's like, I can't explain it. But until it dries up, I'm going to keep on doing it.
Are you a comp level yet? Because it sounds like you should be at comp level.
What's a comp level?
Where you get comped because you gamble so much at Pato.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a free brunch. Here's free valet. Here's a free room.
I mean, Joshy, you can speak to this as well. When we go out there and do weekly wager at Potawatomi every Wednesday night from 6 to 7 at the studio there, they take care of us.
Yeah, and there's certainly tiers to this. They're really good at even taking care of somebody who's somewhat consistent. But in terms of the people gambling, I have friends, close personal friends, that their numbers of gambled per year reaches over $100,000.
Oh, not even close.
Oh, my God.
So,
not even
when they're getting their end of the year numbers and it's like, how much did you win or lose here? Those are the people that are like the VIPs. You're getting big rooms. Like someone like Jen and I who are like throwing in a $40 here and there.
And that's a splashy bet.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, they definitely do hook you up. That's why they have the rewards system there. But there's definitely tiers and wildly vacillating, wildly different tiers as well.
And we are going to talk in the second hour of the program as we continue to break down some of the positions of need for the Green Bay Packers, what the odds are on each of these positions at Potawatomi. One of them is very interesting. And we're going to talk about that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.